Well, my topic today is successful living, which is the second chapter in the book by Ernest Holmes, It's Up to You, which we're studying during this segment of the year here at Study Group. And we're building on Michael Beckwith's Life Visioning workbook that we studied in the early part of 2012 on our quest to live our visions, the broader visions of our life, even more fully than we have before. So it's exciting to continue deepening our understanding of who we are and why we're here and what we're doing. And so I looked back at what we studied with the Michael Beckwith material during January and February and March, and realized that we had started out talking about the four stages of consciousness. And as I pursued the topic of successful living for the last month or so, I realized that I was going over here, and I was going over there, and then I was going over there, and it wasn't coming together. It was taking me off in all these tangents that were fascinating, and I kept picking up another book and getting another idea, and another magazine and getting another idea, and watching a video and getting another idea, and it wasn't coming together as it usually does for me. And then I finally realized that if I folded it back into the four stages of consciousness, there was actually a pattern to all of the unfolding that had been happening. So let's start there. The first stage of consciousness is victim consciousness, where you feel like the world is doing it to you, that you are not particularly empowered, and you are feeling like something else is to blame for what's happening in your life. And as I got ready to do my talks on this part of the curriculum this year, I kept coming up with F words relating to the various stages of consciousness. And the first level F word you can imagine, but the other F words that I'm willing to say on the tape are fear and fury. When you're in victim consciousness, you're either afraid of something or angry about something. You're blaming someone else for controlling your life, and you're either afraid of it or angry about it. Well, when I looked at what success would be defined as at victim consciousness, I realized that the S words were related to success. So for victim consciousness, the S word, the success word, is survival. And I remember in my life living in victim consciousness for many, many years, and my intention was to survive to the next day. That was the best I could imagine for myself during those years, and I was focused on getting through the day, just managing to make it to the next day. When you move to manifestor consciousness, the second level of consciousness, the F word is focus. You learn that as you focus your thinking, you can change your life. And so as you begin to focus, you start defining success in another way. And a lot of people define success as stuff. The S word for the second level manifester is stuff. The other S word is supply. You want your life to be supplied. You want to have everything you need and the stuff that you like in your life. So those are the ways you tend to define success at the level of manifestor consciousness. But at the manifestor consciousness, there is still another S word, which is separate. Manifestor consciousness is where you think you're doing it yourself. You're focusing your mind and you're making things happen. At the third level of consciousness, the channel consciousness, the F word is flow. You begin to recognize that you are connected to source. And so the success word for channel consciousness is source. It's building your connection and your awareness of the flow of goodness that is ever coming to you from source. And allowing yourself to channel that divine energy into your life in powerful ways. Finally, the fourth level of consciousness is the being level of consciousness. And the F word for the fourth level is freedom. And that's manifesting spirit in the flesh. So the S words for the success words for the fourth level that I came up with were soaring as spirit. Aware of the divine in your life, not just flowing through you, but as you. And that means self-expression. You are expressing yourself in your uniqueness, the wonder of who you truly are. And as I read Ernest Holmes, he was saying over and over again that as we allow ourselves to be who we truly are, we are living successfully. And I laughed because I bought the Kindle version of this book to work on it. And I realized I have no page numbers. It's all percentage. So at 23% in the book, there's plenty to go around, Ernest said, with an abundance left over. When the mental gate, which is now obstructing the flow of spirit through the uniqueness of our individuality, is lifted, there will be an outpush which nothing can resist. Everyone should be willing and happy to be himself or herself, remembering that imitation is suicide. And also on that page said, consciously experience spirituality while in the flesh and recognize our spiritual inheritance. So we are looking for success at different levels in different ways. And as we allow ourselves to become more and more fully connected with that divine nature of who we are, the levels of success continue to build on each other. So we're not saying that you won't manifest the stuff. We're not saying that you won't experience the channel connection of spirit through you as you come to the self-expression of individuality, but rather that everything comes to you as you expand your consciousness and you can see the beauty and the power and the wonder of life lived as the divine life. And one of the things I'm finding about being with Paul more and more is that he has an amazing memory for song lyrics. And so I'm being exposed to song lyrics for songs I've never heard because country music hasn't been a real part of my experience. And he's been quoting George Strait lately as I've been working on this talk. There's a difference in living and living well. And that is a powerful, evocative phrase regarding successful living. Am I living, that's the survival consciousness, or am I living well? Am I living successfully? And when I heard the line after that, I had a kind of a negative reaction to it because he goes on to say, you can't have it all by yourself. There's always something missing till you share it with someone else. And at first I was thinking, that's not a message I want to speak to a lot of people. I mean, if you're currently without a romantic partner, you're not less than in this life. You can live very well in a wholeness of yourself. But then I looked at it more closely, and particularly the second line, there's a difference in living and living well. You can't have it all by yourself. And to me then, that spoke to the manifestor consciousness, sense of separation from source where you were trying to focus alone and make your mind create something in the physical world just by your focus of attention. And it works. You know, lots and lots of people manifest amazing things in their lives, but there is more to life than that, and there is more to love than feeling separate from source. There is this amazing experience of feeling loved by the divine, of feeling the being nature of love within yourself and allow it to flow out to in the world. So I was listening to the Abraham Hicks workshop last week, and they had a very powerful segment toward the end of the workshop where they addressed this very issue of are we alone? And this is what they said. This non-physical energy is coming forward into your now, all coming forward into your now. The continuum of love, I love that phrase, the continuum of love, the cycle of life. You are just beginning to understand the fullness of all of that. You are loved and adored by that non-physical energy. Allow yourself the richness and fullness of this non-physical energy that is juncturing with you in your now, 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 in your now. You are not alone, and you never have been. You are not on your own, and you never have been. You are supported. The support you are really looking for is the support that comes from inside, and it comes to you when you finally accept the perfection of your being, the never-endedness of that which is you. The love of that which is Source. Source is ever, ever, ever offering that love to you, but you have to receive it. You've got to let it in. You've got to find a way of being a vibrational match to it. So the love is here. It's always been here. But we haven't always perceived it. Why is that? Why is that? And I think the reason that we don't perceive it, a couple of reasons. One, it's so big. It's like a fish trying to say, where's the water? There's never been a place that wasn't the water, so they didn't feel the contrast of it not being there. And the other is that the people who taught us when we were little didn't know the love that was there for them. And so they taught us what they knew to teach us. From their highest offering of the love that they had, they taught us what they believed. And you can't teach what you don't know. So understanding that we weren't taught to feel for the love, to feel for the love. And Abraham's been talking lately about the subtlety of non-physical energy and the fact that you have to learn to perceive a little bit differently, to fine-tune into that vibrational love that doesn't appear in physical form, but actually is a vibrational feeling that takes place within us. So we give ourselves permission to find the love, to feel that energy that is expressing in us, through us, and as us. Each of those things is unique and possible. Ernest in It's Up to You was talking about the universe is endlessly projecting well-being to us, but it's up to us to open to accept it, to allow it in our lives. And he said so often, principle is not bound by precedent. What's happened in the past doesn't have to predict what can happen in the future. He said, our good is not limited or conditioned by any good that has ever been manifest. We don't have to see it to allow it to come. We should confidently expect a greater good than we have ever experienced or that we have ever known of anyone experiencing. In everyone, there is a unique possibility ready to take the stamp of his or her individuality. So that's our vision. This stamp of our individuality, that calling that is pushing up, welling up within us to express ourselves, to write a song, to love a child, to express in some special way that only you can do. And how you express is that individuality coming out into the world. And your success will be entirely different from anyone else's because your expression will be unique to you. You have that opportunity, that amazing experience of birthing a vision that only you are here to live. That uniqueness of who you are has never been anywhere else in the universe, will never be expressed as you anywhere else in the universe. And who you are really matters. Who you are is important and exquisite, a divine expression of life. And so your success in this expressing yourself, allowing that uniqueness to express through you as you, take some doing because it's up to you. And so if you haven't been taught how to do it and you're not sure how to do it, how do you do it? What do you do next? What do you do first? And I was at a party last night that was celebrating two graduations, a high school graduation and a college graduation, and the birth of a new baby in one family all the same week. They are really having magnificent outpouring of love in their family. And I got to sit there and hold this baby that's a week and a half old, already 12 pounds. This was a very large child when he was born. But the peacefulness, the ease of this one little one was so awesome as he was passed from one person to another. Everybody wanted to soak in the baby energy, and he was so good at just being himself, absolutely unselfconscious, totally being love and allowing himself to be showered with love endlessly from one person to another all evening long. It was a beautiful thing. He, in fact, gave himself permission to chill out and let the universe produce for him. That's a quote from Abraham. The key is, how can I give myself permission to chill out and let the universe produce? Instead of thinking, I have to do it, allowing the universe to do it for me. What do I have to do in order to chill out and allow the universe to produce for me? Abraham went on to say, here's we think what is stuck in there for most of you. You've been convinced for a rather long time that you get your brownie points or your marks on the chart in heaven for the effort you produce. You have all kinds of phrases like no pain, no gain, and most of you, even though you're beginning to soften your belief about that, you still really believe it. It's a strong determination for most of you to justify the good that comes to you through a little suffering, and that trips you up every time. So, how can I give myself permission to chill out and let the universe produce? Is that an interesting idea to you? That phrase really captured me. How can I let the universe produce? It's all going to happen if I just let it be. Wow, that's what I began to contemplate. What is it like to give myself permission to soar beyond my limiting beliefs? To believe that something could happen that not only has never happened to me before, but that I've never seen happen to anyone else before either. Wow, that's permission to expand in my imagination. And I was writing about that idea with some friends, and I said, let's play with the idea of having permission. And so much more than permission, actually encouragement from non-physical to have an even more amazing, thrilling, creative, joyful, laugh-filled, fun, delightful, graceful life than ever before. And I love knowing that I'm worthy of the best life has to offer. But what do I consider best? This is my unique expression. This is not the expression where we all get together and we agree on what everybody's supposed to succeed at. this is the expression that I personally want. Independent of everybody else's idea of what I'm supposed to be doing, what do I want? And one of the things that I asked the Beloved when I was writing my first book is, what's in my vortex? What's lined up for me by the universe? If I let the universe produce, what would come to me? And what they said was, all of the things you love, blissful moments, powerful moments, poignant moments, touching moments, belly laughing moments, romantic moments, savoring moments, basking moments, relaxed moments, blissful moments, romping fun moments, glorious moments, magical moments, one amazing moment after another, day after day after day, when I'm alone and when I'm with others. Joy, 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 happy, 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 whoops, contrast. Oh, okay, I didn't expect that. Okay, now from here, what do I want? I want to go general. I want to remember how I want to feel. I want to focus on the emotion rather than the physical stuff. And I want to feel more peaceful. I want to feel more allowing. I want to feel more appreciation. I want to feel more ease. I want to feel more flow. I want to feel wonder. Ah, back in the bliss field again. Again. Yay! Yay! All of those things. All those things. In this moment, feeling the love. In that moment, feeling appreciation. In another moment, bursting out laughing. In another moment, just savoring being together with beautiful friends. Seeing the eyes, seeing the smiles, feeling the love. It's up to us. We get to choose the focus, whether we are at level 1, 2, 3, or 4, we get to choose the focus. We get to allow the flow, no matter what level of consciousness we're on. We get to exercise the freedom to express ourselves in our individuality, in our power. Standing in our power, in the current moment, sure-footed, right now, knowing that well-being is ours, chilling out and letting the universe produce, giving ourselves permission to simply let go and be who we truly are. It's pretty exciting. And so it is.